Spirits of French Lick is proud to introduce the Lee Sinclair 4-Grain Bottled and Bond Bourbon. This 4-year-aged, double-pot distilled, non-chill-filtered bourbon has creamy, round, and lifting notes with caramel and vanilla, followed by apple, mint, graham cracker, and ginger, as well as cardamom. The finish is slightly French walnut, resolving the sweet, fruity, almost ground cherry and white pepper. Our spirits are available for tasting and purchase inside the French Lick Winery and Distillery. Spirits of French Lick. Respect the grain. Please enjoy responsibly.
Show me the way to the next whiskey bar. Oh, don't ask why. Oh, don't ask why. Show me the way to the next whiskey bar.
Here we are, back again.
Back in the studio, Tiny.
That was Jim Morrison, the Doors, and the Alabama song.
Thank you, Jim Morrison.
Yeah, thank you for that. We every time we do this, we love to hear it. It's perfect for what we are doing.
Oh, yeah. We are back in the whiskey bar.
Well.
The man cave.
Now, with that said, I will do the Spirit of French Lick personal read. The Spirit of French Lick is the largest pot still distillery in the state of Indiana. Pot still distillation is a small batch process focused on the concentration and retention of flavor and aroma. It is reflective of the grain, fruit, and other locally sourced ingredients. The distillery focuses on 4 pillars of distilling: bourbon, brandy, botanical spirits, and American whiskey. And we'd like to thank the Spirit of French Lick for being our sponsor here of the Scotchy Bourbon Boys.
Absolutely. Thank you, Spirit of French Lick. Thank you, Alan Bishop and
Jolie Kasperzak.
Yeah, there you go.
We'll just, going forward, we're just going to say Jolie.
Yeah, I have a problem. I can't quite get the last name down, so I let you take that one.
Well, you said Alan's name really well.
Yeah. The Bish.
The Bish. Yes. That's speaking of that, we're going to hopefully get some of the current spirits, and we're going to be doing a tasting there, and hopefully we can have Alan on there. But Alan has been doing such cool stuff. I mean, every weekend he's in the wilderness either making beer or whiskey like they did in the 1800s. It's some pretty cool stuff. And this week he had a really nice picture posted on Facebook that I downloaded that I'm going to be putting up on the website in the picture section soon. And then also, we haven't loaded it because we're a little bit behind with the New Year's, but Young Nose here, his blog will be up on the website real soon. I've been getting on, that should be getting posted sometime this week. And I'll do a update and a shout out to the, you know, to the website on the Facebook group. But that brings us to where are we, Young Nose? Where can you find us when looking for us on the internet? To you know, we're so many places.
Well, that's just the thing, Tiny. The real question is where can't you find us?
Exactly,
because we're everywhere.
Yeah. give it a shot.
I'll try my
best. Without the note card that we've made like 800 times, yeah, and we never have it when we podcast.
So first and foremost, we are the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. Please subscribe if you like what you hear. We are available anywhere that you can get podcasts. The main ones are Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and Pandora. We are also on Alexa.
It's called TuneIn Alexa, but all you have to do is ask Alexa or Siri.
Or Google.
Exactly.
Play the Scotchy Bourbon Boys, and we're right there. So, where else are we at, Tiny? We are on Facebook. Of course, we're all over Facebook.
The group and the page.
And the page.
Like us and follow us on both.
You already mentioned the website, so we are at thescotchybourbonboys.com.
I think it's actually www.scotchybourbonboys.com.
Yeah, I believe you're correct.
Everything else is the Scotchy Bourbon Boys, but when it came to getting that URL, we ended up with Scotchy Bourbon Boys. I think it had to do with the length.
Yeah, probably.
Everything has to do with the length, right?
All the time.
Length of the finish, right?
Yeah. So continuing on, we're also on Instagram at the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. We are on Twitter at Scotchy The. Check us out on YouTube. Subscribe to us there. There's a lot of cool video content with podcasts, with distillery tours, with other behind-the-scenes stuff up there on YouTube. There's a lot of cool stuff there, entertaining. We're all over YouTube. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of other ones, and I don't remember them all.
Patreon, remember. No, we're gonna hit Patreon.
Yes.
You can support us on Patreon. There are different levels of support, all different levels, even to, if you want to, you can sponsor us through Patreon as an actual advertiser, or there's also ways to get our Scotchy Bourbon Boys, Glencairns, and our t-shirts, along with the posting chip. So check us out on Patreon under the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. That is a good place to go to find out what we're about. Plus, we're getting close to having the special content loaded to that we don't load to YouTube, that gives a background to the podcast, some of the podcasts that we do when we have guests and whatnot, and what goes into making a podcast in the preparation. So that's on Patreon.
Very good. Thank you, Tiny. Traditional.
So what does that bring us to next? That brings us to the new group members. A couple weeks ago, we had this huge uplift of group members, but now we're back to the normal amount. So take it away there, Young Nose.
Yep, I got it right here. So new to the group for the Scotchy Bourbon Boys Facebook group is what we're referring to. We have Royce Neely, Ed Blay, and Martin McPherson. Thank you for joining us, and hope you have a wonderful time, and cheers.
Welcome new members. It's a great group. We have a lot of different people, lot of industry insiders. One of the cool things that happened this week, when I was on Facebook, Michael Veach is a Scotchy Bourbon Boy. So all of his posts go to the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. He posts onto the group. And so he does a column on his website, and so every time he writes a new column or critiques a new whiskey, which is some really cool stuff, this he decided to critique, and I'm getting it up here real quick, the Widow Jane, I believe it was 15 year. I'm checking out that post at the moment. Yep, there it is. I had it, and there it was. No, okay, Booker's. Anyways, I made a comment on the Widow Jane expression. I've had it. I would say that because I love bourbon, it's not something that's, what would you say, not delicious. I mean, it's a good, it tastes like bourbon. It has a bourbon profile. But also I said that it's a little bit pricey. Now, if I can find the post really quick, I don't know why I can't. It's always, this is the way it always is, isn't it? Their Young Nose.
Typically.
You would think it would just come right up.
I also thought of something else.
Okay, talk while I look for this.
Well, it's more of a question. Did we start the YouTube camera?
No, we weren't doing the YouTube tonight.
Ah, okay.
because it's just me and you, and we've done that a bunch of times. And
that's true.
People, I don't mind, you know, people can, there it is. It's the Widow Jane, the vault, age 15 years. So I made that comment about, you know, that it wasn't my favorite profile, but it's not a bad bourbon. I've never had the 15 year, but I had the 10. Well, Lisa Roper Wicker, who is the president and the master distiller of Widow Jane Distillery, jumped in, and because she's a Scotchy bourbon boy also, explained that buying the best barrels is expensive. Lots of competition these days. Looking forward to the day we can release our whiskey. So I was really kind of like taken back and very happy that she chimed in, because we are all looking forward to the day that a lot of the distillers, especially Greg Schneider, Bill Hackett, Alan Bishop, where most of the bourbon that they are distilling and the whiskeys that they are making right now, and the same thing with Lisa, start to hit the market, because what they're all doing in these craft, and the quality of what they're making is just amazing. And when it starts to hit the market, bourbon will even become a more, what would you say, sought after spirit because of the quality. Because I've noticed in 2020 that the quality of the bourbon in Kentucky has skyrocketed, along with the competition that's coming from the rest of the country. And I don't think it's competition. Everybody seems to understand that they still can't make enough, even though they're putting, you got Heaven Hill putting millions of barrels. You got Jim Beam, Beam Suntory, Diageo, they're all making millions of barrels, and it's still selling to the point where they have a hard time keeping it all on the shelves.
Oh yeah, that's absolutely true. I mean, especially with 2020, you kind of had that little lull with the hand sanitizer thing. But I would definitely echo your comment there that, which I can't really speak from personal experience, but I can say that the whiskeys, bourbons, and the different spirits that we've tasted since starting this have all been really, really good. I mean, Even a lot of the lower end stuff, like we had the Benchmark and some Ancient Age, and even just the traditional, Jim Beams and that sort of thing. It's all still really good. It's like people are really honing in on the skills that it takes, the different sciences behind it, the different arts, the artistic side of it, and plus the experimentation side of it. And then you get into finishes and different woods and, all that part of bourbon that's starting to hit the shelves now too, like Angel's Envy and other things that are cask finished. You know what I mean? All that sort of stuff is all coming out, and it's just...
Well, and then now even the blends that are starting to come out. So it's just kind of following what Scotch and Irish, Irish whiskeys had done, and they've done that over the last 600-700 years,
right?
Opposed to what's been happening here in the market, where bourbon has been around since the late 1700s, where they were the mid to late 1700s, but it's only started to evolve past bourbon recently. Because even when I first started, really getting into this, like for the part where we've got which is about 2 years ago, where we started really, diving into all the different types of whiskeys and everything. Mm-hmm. At that point, Booker's, when I bought my first Booker's, which was, I believe, Kitchen Table, and it still was one of the few barrel strength, unfiltered and full barrel strength to hit the market. It's like
uncut with water.
Yeah, it's not chill filtered. So the fats are that remain in there. They do the chill filtering to remove the fats so that if it gets cold, it doesn't get cloudy. But they left that completely alone, and there wasn't much to choose from other than that. And now there's probably 30, 40 barrel strength bourbons, and then and they're all spectacular. You know, most of the barrel strengths are just spectacular.
Yeah.
You know, but then, like you said, then the finishes, the finished bourbon back then. Nobody wanted a finished bourbon because it was like, that wasn't bourbon. That's not bourbon. You chose the rules. Well, now all of a sudden, it's like it's an accepted to finish it in a wine barrel cask or a beer barrel cask, you know, and it's no longer Kentucky straight bourbon, but it's a very delicious whiskey.
Right.
So people are accepting that. And then I see more of the rye kind of coming in. They've introduced that where that, even though I'm not a big, huge fan of rye, but so many more distilleries that were making just bourbon are now making a rye. You know, there's an actual Jim Beam rye.
Right.
You know, you these hit, or what will I believe Wild Turkey did the rare breed rye.
Yeah.
So you're seeing that kind of things. And even, and so that there's so much more of a diversity of what's going on at the distilleries in America, and it's just such a great time to be in this industry in the proper way of tasting, drinking responsible, you know, having drinking responsible and just enjoying what, you know, whiskey can be as far as a relaxing kind of a friendship building, you know, experience.
Almost like a camaraderie item itself. Get people together and get people to, you know, just to enjoy something, enjoy the company with each other, enjoy what it takes to put out a product like this. You know what I mean? And just the different, then the different tastes and the complexities. And I find it fun to find out who can taste and smell different things. And, you know, some things are a little bit different. Some things are kind of the same, and you know, but the different palates that everybody has, and
yeah,
you know, it's all fun and intriguing to me. And that's probably, I mean,
it's fun.
I enjoy doing this. I enjoy doing this with you. I enjoy meeting all the people that we've met. There's so many great people out there in this industry. It's just so phenomenal. I know we've probably said that multiple podcasts, but it's the hammer I don't mind beating over again. It's just the industry itself is just so loving, so family-like, so welcoming. And it, like you said, it's like everyone is competing, but they're really not. They're just putting something out there that's unique and that's...
Yeah, it's their business. And it's their job. And it's just like they consider themselves in so many ways just like anybody else, especially the distillers and the heads of the company. They're family orientated. They basically go to work every day. That's what the way they look at it, like me and you. They don't look at themselves like the celebrities that they are as much. Some, you know, through advertising, you know, some are more celebrity-like than others, but at the same time, they're most interested in making the good whiskey more so than promoting the product, at, you know, and the, or promoting themselves with the product.
Right.
So that's a really cool thing, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So what are we tasting tonight, Tiny?
Well, we are going Stitzel Weller. That distillery is a really, really cool distillery. I've been to it twice in the last 2 years. The first time I was there, I kind of was there. We didn't do too much. We looked around the you know, the visitor center. We were, and then went into the gift shop, saw the offices. There's some really cool offices of Tom. Because Bulleit is also made by Diageo, which is out of the, you know, the in the Stitzel Weller, you know, family, and just seeing the whole thing and what they've got set up there. But then the second time we went back, we did the full tour and tasting, and that was, the whole thing was phenomenal. The distillery is in the process of it doesn't produce a huge amount of alcohol, but it produces the alcohol for the Blade and Bow, and then some alcohol that goes into some of the other specialty distillates that they're going to be coming out with soon, and then they're in the process of trying to make the distillery a little bit bigger as far as its production goes.
Okay, so still a lot of improvements, a lot of good things coming in the future for whiskey and bourbon.
Oh, yeah. The distillery is fantastic. You've got a little bit of history on that, don't you?
I do have some history notes. I would say that I personally haven't been there, but I would love to go check it out the next time we're down in Kentucky area, in Louisville. So, anyway.
While you do that, I think we'll start with the blade and bow first.
Okay.
So, you start with that, with the history on though.
So, little history here on Stitzelweller Distillery, located in Shively, which is a suburb of Louisville. It was originally founded in 1935 by the owners that are the A... Wait, hold on. Okay. All right, I'm just going to read what I got here. I'm screwing up already. So it was founded in 1935, but soon closed its doors in 1972. The original founders were Julian Van Winkle Sr., Alex T. Farnsley, and Arthur Philip Stitzel. The name Stitzelweller is actually comprised of the distillery and the partnering distributor that they worked with to distribute their whiskey. The A.P.H. Stitzel Distillery, combined with the W.L. Weller & Sons Distributing, is what we get together to blend together to get the Stitzelweller, and eventually Weller and Stitzel and Winkle all combined, you know, they kind of combined together, and then later on they rebuilt a new distillery, which is the distillery now, which is the Stitzelweller Distillery. So it was... During Prohibition, it was a medicinal distillery. Afterwards, the new distillery was built. During its time of operation, it was regarded by many as the old Fitzgerald's distillery, even though it was named the Stitzelweller. It was named Old Fitzgerald mostly because that was the popular brand that they were producing at the time. The distillery was built purposely outside the city limits as to avoid additional taxes, which, you know, not very surprising when it comes to that. Less taxes is a good thing, right, Tiny?
Yes, sir. Back then, they could get out of it. Now they can't anymore.
Yeah.
No one gets out of the taxes anymore.
Yeah, right. They also had a slogan which was posted outside on a sign that read, "No chemists allowed," since they were all in agreement that they considered what they did, the process of distillation, as an art and not a science. So they didn't want science technical people there. They wanted free-flowing, artistical, creative minds. Not a bad idea, I suppose.
Yeah, when you go through... As the Stitzelweller, I believe it was the bottling house where they kept, a lot of the employees kept a chart of all the big days at the distillery, the opening and whatever, and they wrote it on the wall. But the last couple days of the distillery, I thought it was kind of creative that everybody was signing who worked there. And it's still up there today from when it's closed in, I believe it was 1992, correct?
It closed in 72.
72.
It was rebought by Diageo
in 92. But when it closed in 72, they had everything. And the couple days leading up, there was a bunch of notes on the wall. So it was the creativity of even the people, you know, leaving, you know, you don't see that in other distilleries.
Yeah. So that definitely would be a good... And one of many good reasons to check it out. So, continuing on here, the brands that were being produced by Stitzelweller during their day were the W.L. Weller, Old Fitzgerald, the Pappy Van Winkle line, Old Weller, which I've never heard of, would be interesting to look into that. But
I think Michael Veitch had, if I'm not mistaken, has an actual critique of Old Weller, but you'd have to look that up on the website.
Okay, that'll be something to check out. They also made Rebel Yell, and they also made Weller's Cabin Still.
Never heard of that.
Neither have I. Stitzel-Weller, along with Maker's Mark, was very influential to substitute rye with wheat as the secondary grain, which in the mash bill created a more sippable bourbon than what was being produced with the more traditional rye grains. Stitzel-Weller was also notorious for aging their products a bit longer than the others that would be the standard of the day. Usually up to 10 years is some of their product was being aged. Of course, now we know that they have a lot older material, a lot older stock, I should say, that they use both for the Pappy line and some of it into this Blade and Bow that we're going to be tasting a little bit later. So in 1941, Farnsley died, and then again in 1947, Stitzel also died, leaving the distillery to Van Winkle Sr. Eventually, in 1965, Van Winkle Sr. also passed away and left it to his son, Julian Van Winkle Jr. Soon enough, as history goes, the distillery ended up selling out. It sold to Norton Simon, which was the original buyer. They changed the name. It changed hands a few times. It went through different places. Eventually, it ended up with Diageo in 92. They bought it as an investment opportunity. And they are still the current owners of the Stitzel-Weller Distillery, and as such, they changed the name back to Stitzel-Weller once they bought it. I believe you kind of mentioned a little bit, but they do have some ties to the Weller family line, that some people that work in Diageo, which would explain the name change back. But also, in 2014 is when the building itself was reopened to produce whiskey at the site. And it's been producing whiskey ever since.
This is true. We're going to be tasting the Blade and Bow and the I.W. Harper, both Diageo products, and both have ties to the Stitzel-Weller Distillery, although Blade and Bow is particularly the main tie to the Stitzel-Weller Distillery. Young No said, they reopened the facility in 2014 and closed in 1972, remained closed all the way till it was bought till 92. Now, when Diageo bought it in 92, I believe, I don't know exactly, no, it all the brands had been sold out already, correct?
Yes. Somehow skipped that while I was reading, but along with the closure, they sold off a couple of their brands. Rebel Yell went to the David Sherman Corporation, which you now said was bought up by Luxco.
Yeah, Luxco now does, I don't know what its ties to the Damon Sherman Corporation are, but Luxco currently owns the Rebel Yell line.
Right, and W.L. Weller went to Buffalo Trace, and the old Fitzgerald line went to Heaven Hill.
And Pappy went to Buffalo Trace also.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yes. So, the Blade and Bow was the, in regards to the origin of the Blade and Bow name, it represents the two parts of a skeleton key. The blade shaft and the ornate bow. So Diageo states that Blade and Bow brand is a tribute to the five keys that once hung on the door of the Stitzel-Weller Distillery, which stand for the five steps of making bourbon: grain, yeast, fermentation, distillation, and aging. Now, Blade and Bow, there's also a Blade and Bow 22-year. Now, that Blade and Bow 22-year is made from the original stock that was purchased by when they bought it in by Diageo when they bought it in 1992. So the 22-year was bottled and put out, and that particular expression is all from the barrels, you know, was bottled, limited bottling from the barrels that were aging while the company was, what happens a lot when distilleries close, the bourbon, especially in Kentucky, mostly in Kentucky, I would say right now, is that the bourbon industry comes together to maintain the barrels that are already distilled. So now Diageo had a ton of this aged whiskey. Now, when whiskey gets over 20, 22 years, a lot of times, a lot of it's gone. Even in some barrels, you open it up and there's nothing in it. It's all been taken up by the angel share. So these older barrels are now being mixed with a younger whiskey that's being produced, that they're producing at the distillery, the liquid that they produce at the distillery, you know, the juice that they're making is now, if they started in 2014 and it's 2021, we're going on 7 years. So they're mixing it with, so the Blade and Bow that we're tasting tonight has no age statement. The mash bill is undisclosed. And so there's not a lot of detail on it, but it's got older, that older bourbon in it mixed with the younger whiskeys. So Jim Murray.
Would it be safe to say this is a weeder, a weeded bourbon?
I do not believe.
I know it doesn't say in the mash bill.
But no, I don't think this is a weeded bourbon. I don't think it's, I do not think it is. I think the Weller and the Pappy's was the weeded bourbon, where this was, I would say it's, and Old Fitzgerald was weeded too. There's a, this is Kentucky straight bourbon whiskey.
Could be weeded, but I don't know for certain.
Well, there's undisclosed mash bill and no, and they don't say it's weeded, so we'll, so the color, when you look at it, it's light copper, and I would have to agree that's a light copper. It's not a, it's not an amber. It's really kind of a nice, and this, this particular bottle that we are drinking tonight was a special bottle. It was when I went with Martin, when I went with Super Nash, we toured together and we both got engraved bottles. So this was a special bottling for Jeff Mueller and Martin Nash. So this is my bottle. Now, each bottle of Blade and Bow has a key. If you collect the five different keys that have the different numbers, 1 through 5, once you have all 5 keys, you can send them in to the distillery, Stitzel Weller, and they will put your name on a gold cup. Now, they put it out on a shelf in, I believe, Tom Bullitt's office at the distillery, and on that shelf are all the people who have purchased the and got received the keys 1 through 5. And then when you tour the distillery, you can take your cup with you, you find it and take it, or you can leave it there for display. So a lot of people leave it there for display for everybody to see, but it's a pretty cool room with a lot of gold cups in it. But it's a night. All the offices are like I.W. Harper's office and Tom Bullitt. They're all period time offices, and it's really a cool kind of thing when you go through to see. It's got that, you know, '60s, you know, that whiskey drinking Rat Pack time, you know, or the '40s. The offices are just really classy and cool. So,
well, all right, sounds great. I know there's a Martin Nash Gold Cup in that office.
Now, the other aspect is, but Blade and Bow is produced by utilizing the Solera aging process method. According to Diageo, some of the last bourbon produced at Stitzel Weller is used in their Solera system. They state that older bourbons from Stitzel Weller are mingled with other young whiskeys. No barrel is ever fully drained, ensuring the oldest bourbon is always present. That is their definition of Solera aging method.
So mixed with some younger stuff, but not so much so that the older whiskey is drowned out by the young whiskey.
Correct.
Okay.
Now, so the older whiskey comes forward. Now, we are drinking tonight the Blade and Bow in our Scotchy Bourbon Boy Glencairns, thanks to Martin Duffy, the North American representative of the Glencairn Glass Company. He goes all around the country. He was on last week. We had him on our podcast. And you can purchase Glencairns at pretty much any glassware place. World Market, you can pick them up at. But to get a Scotchy Bourbon Boys Glencairn, you either can go to the website and purchase one, scotchybourbonboys.com, or you can do it through our Patreon and become a Patreon member to get your Glencairn. So check that out. That brings us to tonight's bourbons, are brought to you also by our sponsor, Martin Nash, Super Nash. He supplies us with a lot of the bourbon that we drink on the show. He is
the owner of AB Fire Extinguisher Services. We'll give him a quick shout out here. He services anywhere in the North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia areas. If you're listening in and have any fire safety need, whether it be fire extinguishers, overhead hoods, OSHA compliance, call Martin Nash, AB Fire Extinguishers. He'll hook you up good.
There we go. We got that middle part done. So this blade and bow that is reviewed, which should be the blade and bow that we're drinking tonight, because this is in the Jim Murray's whiskey bottle. His review is short and sweet. A simple, if at times massively sweet, offering which minimizes on complexity. It's short and sweet, but I could, a little bit better than when I tried.
Heavy Harper is much shorter and sweeter. we sneak peeked at his reviews.
Yeah, that's even, yes, as far as what he says. All right, so we also are going to barrel bash these two bourbons tonight with our tasting notes.
So a quick reminder of the Scotchy Bourbon Boy Barrel Bash rating system. We have a total barrel bashing of 16. That would be 4 barrel bashes for each category of nose, taste, body, and finish.
You have that all for right. When we do that.
We're going to read the tasting notes here for the blade and bow.
Thanks to BreakingBourbon.com.
Thank you, Breaking Bourbon. The nose is light and airy, and it starts with aromas of peaches, honey, and hay, and light oak. These scents are encapsulated within a dose of ethanol, which I wasn't expecting to be so prominent for a 91 proof.
The nose on this is absolutely fantastic. I love this nose. I'm in love with the nose.
It is a really good nose. I definitely got the honey at first. I had like a mixture of honey and caramel, and then I even got a little bit of like a brown sugar sweetness to it.
I'm getting that honey nutty. It's a nutty, almost peanut taste, like what's prevalent in some Jim Beams. But it's very sweet, a lot sweeter.
Yeah, it is a very sweet nose.
I can pick up the fruitiness. I'm trying to pick up the peach. I'm picking more up. What is that?
I get a little bit more of that ethanol smell with the mouth closed. The mouth open, you get so much caramel, honey, sweetness, and maybe a slight fruitiness. I wouldn't necessarily go as far as to say peach, but maybe more of a drier fruit like an apricot.
Yeah, I get the cinnamon. I mean, not the cinnamon, but I'm getting the honey. I get like almost a syrup, like a maple honey syrup.
Right.
On the top.
Oh, it's good. All right. Let's bash it.
I got to taste it.
No, we gotta bash it first.
We're gonna okay. So
you can taste it.
This is no prejudgment. This is the first time I've ever noticed this. But did you already do the barrel system?
Yeah, I already said it.
I'm out of it. Yeah. You know, yeah. So, anyways, I give it. There's not too many different noses I'm expecting off of a bourbon. I mean, it's just fantastic. I'm gonna give it a 4. It's spectacular. I love it.
I would definitely agree. This is a very, very sweet nose. It is a very playful nose, but it's not so complex and so hard to pick out things that you just, it's right there and I could smell it. So I would equivalent with a 4.
Let's taste.
The taste on this one's really good.
The body's insane for the thing. It just clings to the glass and sticks. It's there. And then all of a sudden, long legs. And it takes forever to go back in the glass. Like that syrup and you have to lick it off the sides or something, right?
It's acting like it's a barrel proof, but it's only 91. So that gives it some kudo points for the body already. The taste is really good. The body on the taste is really creamy. It's delicious.
Oh my God. That's pure honey.
Honey and more honey with some a little bit
so,
of
so do you have like a
salted pretzel.
Mm-hmm. It's salty on you're right. Mm-hmm. On the finish. A salted white chocolate. Yeah, white chocolate dipped pretzel.
Oh.
No, seriously, I taste that the white chocolate bourbon balls. There's mm-hmm. that white chocolate creaminess right there. Very buttery.
Yeah. It is very buttery.
Butter with so what is white chocolate really besides butter with sugar in it? Yeah, you know, and a little bit of yeah. Yeah. So you got one of these for Christmas.
I did. I received one from Supernash.
Is it yes, but is yours the same as this?
This yeah, it definitely tastes similar to mine. Now the first time I opened it up, I was a little deterred by it, but that was probably because I was still recovering from my sickness, so I really couldn't taste it. But then I went back to it the other night. It was actually Sunday morning when I was playing my game that I was telling you about. I had some Blade and Bow, and it tasted just like this. It was incredible. Very, very sweet. So, do you want me to read the Breaking Bourbon palate note?
Oh my God. It's like, what the... What the shit?
So they say that peaches from the nose carry over and are joined with white pepper, vanilla, oak, and a light grain spice. It's light and enjoyable with a nice balance of sweet and a dash of spice. The palate makes this really easy to sip on.
Now, well, it's really easy to sip on, but it's easy to drink the whole frickin' bottle, like, right away.
Yeah, I know. This is really good. I can't agree with the white pepper, vanilla, some oak, a little bit of graininess there.
There's
yeah,
no
peach. But it's just...
pure honey.
Yeah.
Vanilla.
Yeah.
Creamy and butter.
And that salty pretzel at the end. It's like a kicker. And it just lingers on into the finish, that salty... And not maybe not necessarily the white chocolate for me, but more of that.
No, I actually at the back of my throat get a little bit of the white. It just pops through. I love white chocolate covered pretzels.
Yeah.
Okay, what the shit? Not what I was expecting at all. I was expecting at all.
Well, let's bash it on the taste.
This is You go first, because okay. I got to know how you'll probably give it a 1.
No, it's much more than a 1. The taste on this one is really, really good, and that salted pretzel was a sneak. I didn't really quite catch that at home. I definitely got the full vanilla, some caramel, a lot of the honey, maybe a little oak, but this one is really good on the taste, and I got to be careful with my rating here because my taste is kind of lingering in with my taste from the finish. So the taste itself, I give it a 3.
I've never had a bourbon like this. We're going to have to get together with the people at Stitzel Weller and podcast about this.
Right, this blade and bow. I have to make some phone calls.
I was not expecting it to taste this good.
It's very good.
It's not the traditional. I mean, I've not. It's just like you're pouring pure liquid honey down your throat. This would be a really good, like if you had a little bit of a cough or a little bit of a sore throat. Mm-hmm. To drink this with it's that, like, it's almost like it's just like medicine. without nothing. It's just pure, just wonderful. It's
good.
So, I'm gonna give it just because I'm me. I have to give it a 4 on the taste. Now we go to the body. The body is probably the weak point. But it's not, there's no weakness. I mean, for the proof of this, what was it? 91. It doesn't give you a 4 body, but it gives you a 3 body. Yeah. It fills your mouth and it's whatever, but it's not a full complete, but how it clings in the glass, it clings in the glass like a 4, but the actual tasting is, it fills, but it's just not as much of a body experience as a 4, but it's a 3.
And I would agree. The body for me is also a 3. It is like a medium body, medium to medium full. It's a nice smooth bourbon. It definitely has a little bit of a spice on the initial taste, but it's definitely smooth going down. There's not a huge hug on this one. There's not a lot of heat, but the body is very buttery, and it's just it mixes really well with that pure golden honey taste that you get on the nose and the smell. But it is a 3.
All right.
On to the finish.
You go. You can go ahead.
So the finish on this one is just as phenomenal for me on the taste as it was. So the finish for this on me is a 4. And the reason for that, even though it doesn't have much of a hug, it doesn't have much of a long linger, but the salty pretzel mixed with a little bit of the honey caramel is lingering on in my mouth. So the taste is long, but the heat is short and the mouthfeel is shortish. So, but it still gets a 4 for me because I just enjoy that finish.
And I'm going to go a 3. It's not long enough for a 4. It's just a medium finish. It's a nice finish. I'm not going to, but I just rated this a 14 out of 16 on something. This is a very, very spectacular bourbon.
Yeah, and I gave it a 15 out of 16, I believe. What did I give the taste a 3?
You gave the taste a 3.
Okay, so then
and the 14, body a 3. 14, yeah, 14. You did. Yeah, we just
so 8 and 6. Okay,
I gave the taste a 4 and the finish a 3, and you gave the taste a 3 and the finish a 4. Yeah, yeah. So we give it a 14 out of 16.
Yeah.
Solera aging is a rarity in the bourbon world. Few distilleries actually use this method due to the intensive labor involved in producing the end product. Additionally, the fact that Blade & Bow utilizes original Stitzel Weller distillate in their Solera process makes this all the more unique. I have to agree. It's
very unique.
You know, yeah. It's like obviously what they're producing young and what they produced old is just fantastic. So 14 out of 16, we got to head on to the Harper. IW Harper. So let's glass up on that one. The IW Harper.
Yeah, I was going to glass up while you read your info on the IW Harper.
Be careful because this is my wife's favorite bourbon. You wouldn't want to have anything happen to it.
Yeah.
We'll put those back there. All right. So anyways, this was actually this particular Diageo I.W. Harper Distilling Company is distilled in New Berheim, in the New Berheim Distillery. It started. They started doing that in March of 2015, and they've been ongoing ever since. The proof is 86. The age is 15 years. The mash bill is 86 corn, 6% rye, and 8% malted barley. On this one, the copper, it's more of a mahogany than it is a light copper.
Yeah, it's definitely darker on the color.
This particular bottle we picked up at the distillery. It had been raised. The price was raised $15, I believe. That takes it to $80 if I see it here in Ohio, and it was $110 at the distillery, but I picked it up because this is what my wife loves, this brand of I.W. Harper. She will use it for anything. She will use it for a mixer and a hot toddy. She'll use it for a mixer and an old-fashioned. She will drink it neat. She will drink it on the rocks. Roxy will drink this. If it's there, she'll drink it. Yeah, it's her favorite, and when someone mentions for her sharing, usually the answer is, stay away from my I.W. Harper.
Well,
but she said it was all right to share with us tonight because we are reviewing it. So I.W. Harper is a brand that has been around in some form since 1872, originally launched by Isaac Wolf Berheim. The brand is now owned and operated by Diageo. While the brand has been sold since 1872, it hasn't been sold in the U.S. for the last 20 years, which was leading up to 2015. Instead of being offered in the international marketplace during this time, Diageo chose to bring it back to the domestic marketplace in 2015, both as a non-age statement bourbon and a 15-year age statement. This is where it was distilled at the New Berheim Distillery, but aged in Stitzel Weller Distillery warehouses and bottled at the Diageo Tullahoma, Tennessee facility. All right, that brings you to the tasting notes, but I will, while you're trying to read that cutoff version, let me do the short and sweet I.W. Harper. This is
Jim Murray's Whiskey Bible, short and sweet.
Exactly. It's like I.W. Harper, Kentucky Straight Bourbon, 15-year-old. This is what Jim Murray thinks of it. Class in a glass. And he gives it a 90. Now, he gave this one a 94.5, and he gave the Blade and Bow an 85.9.
All right. So the nose on this one, I was nosing it while you were reading. I'm sorry, Tiny. I was jumping the gun here, but it is interesting.
It's even honestly,
and
it's all, they have similar noses.
Not quite.
But similar. I said similar.
Similar.
I didn't say they're
both bourbon, so of course they're going to have similar noses. But
yeah, but still, but, I get that nutty.
Before reading this, the instant smell that I got was cherry.
Yeah.
Instant fruit cherries on this one.
I agree.
And that's what Breaking Bourbon has to say here. It's bright and enjoyable with an abundance of fruit notes. Cherry and apricot are the most striking, with orange and lemon coming across a bit fainter. Mint and dark chocolate inhabit deeper layers that become more apparent as the fruit scents dissipate. Swirling the bourbon, the glass stimulates the aromas much more so than I've noticed in other bourbons. This is evenly layered for a 15-year bourbon, and one that's hard to find obvious flaws in. So they really like the nose.
Well, if you shake it, spin it, and you can really get it stirs the dark chocolate. The cherry goes to dark chocolate. If you, yeah.
Ooh, I get that.
Yeah, just by spinning.
I totally get that. The swirl definitely brings out the dark chocolate. A little bit of the oak, but some caramel and vanilla, but yeah, a lot of dark chocolate.
That's
I definitely got the lemon citrusy note on the smell before the swirl that they had mentioned there also. So this is
I'm getting it now that it's settling down. Now that it's not swirling back to the lemony.
Right, the lemony cherry fruitness.
But if the initial thing was cherry, very straightforward.
Oh yeah.
Wow, like this you said, it really keeps changing.
All right. I'm giving this one a 4. There's no way I can't give it a 4. I gave the last one a 4.
And this one is like a version of the last one, but with complexities.
Yeah.
So realistically, I love the Blade and Bow nose, but the complexity wasn't there. So I probably would have given it a 3 7/8, and this one gets a 4.
But there's not a 7/8 bang. It's either you hit it or you don't.
Wow. Caramel up front. It's not honey. Like Blade and Bow, it's caramel, more like traditional bourbon. But then, spicy, a little spicier. Oh, yeah. So I get like a white pepper. I'll say a white pepper. It's not a black pepper because it's not bitter. But then dark chocolate, cherry.
I definitely get the dark chocolate taste.
Wow.
I got the dark chocolate taste.
No wonder my wife loves this. Because we are talking dark chocolate. Dark freaking chocolate. Yeah.
I got that dark chocolate taste even before the caramel came in. That was my taste and the initial taste.
If you're going to say chocolate on the initial taste, you have to say milk chocolate, because dark chocolate is bitter and not as sweet.
Well,
but that first one is milk chocolate.
Yeah.
But it's caramel, so it's like
milk chocolate.
What is it? What is the
spice?
Is it a Milky Way?
It's dark chocolate.
Snickers is caramel and really chocolate. I get a caramel right off the bat. That's what I got.
Yeah. Oh, that's okay. But that's the beauty of palates. I think it's really good. This is a really good one. I can see why Roxy loves this. Definitely.
So what do you give it on the taste there, Tiny?
I'm going to have to give it a 3 because just hear me out on it. It's just like I'm a caramel fan chocolate. I liked vanilla ice cream, not chocolate ice cream. But it's not like I didn't like chocolate, okay?
Right.
It's chocolate's chocolate. But I always, like if you say give me a chocolate candy bar or a caramel, I'm going to pick the caramel.
Right.
So it just comes down to that when I'm thinking of a bourbon – that's going to get a 4. It's not a bourbon that's this rich in chocolate, so I give it as far as a taste a 3. What does it say for taste on the tasting notes?
On the tasting notes,
the palate
says, not quite the striking fruit-forward palate that the nose led me to believe, but fruit is still very much present. The milder fruit flavors dissipate and give way to heavier notes of oak and leather. Chocolate and caramel also pop up and help provide a nice balance between the sweet and dry notes. Its smooth, creamy mouthfeel helps the sweeter flavors coat your mouth until the finish kicks in. So for me, I was already saying, but my initial taste was chocolate up front. So it was a little sweet, so I will give you that it was more of a milk chocolate rather than dark chocolate. And then the transition went chocolate, and then it went a little bit spicy, a little bit dry with the oak, and then more chocolate, but dark chocolate with some cherry fruit notes kind of dispersed in there, but definitely not as strong on the fruit note taste as it is the fruit note smell. So with that being said, I still give this a 3.
Now this, as far as body, has more body than the other one, which I gave 3, so I'm going to get... And it's pretty close to the chocolate fills your mouth completely. It's not spicy like some full-bodied bourbons where the spice is there, but there's enough spice there for me to say that this is a 3 on the body. I'm going to give it a 3 on the body.
I would agree. In the glass, it is a little bit thinner than the Blade and Bow. In the mouth, it's
fuller.
A little fuller, but not as buttery. But I give it a 3.
All right, what do you give the finish? That's just going to be interesting because
the finish is, interesting is a good word.
But, you know, it's funny because all of a sudden now I've been sitting here for a couple minutes and now I'm getting vanilla popping up.
Yeah, I would get that too, some vanilla.
After the chocolate. The
dark chocolate kind of goes away. I get even some slight notes of like a bitter finish, maybe some dry leather, not quite a tobacco. But the vanilla definitely keeps presenting itself. So
it's a longer finish than the other one. Definitely longer.
It is a little longer, but the taste isn't as enjoyable as the Blade and Bow for me. So the finish gets a 3.
I concur. So this one, we both gave 13 of 16 instead of 14 of 16. It's both, these are both delicious.
They're very good
bourbons.
Oh yeah, there's no doubt about it. I would enjoy having both of these on my shelf.
So that brings us to, we're not quite finished. We are going to have a new segment on the Scotchy Bourbon Boys, and it is all about one of the things that everybody's interested in. It's about bourbon hunting. It's something that Super Nash, who will basically be covering this this particular segment most of the time, because he is our bourbon hunter for the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. He finds bourbons. He gets bourbons. He has numerous ways of finding bourbons, traveling, auctioning, buying, whatever. Right. So he's able to trade and whatever. So he will be running this segment in the future going forward. But what I'd like to do is talk a little bit about he had come up in early December. He came up and I just wanted to talk a couple minutes about what he had taught me. And when he was coming up, I didn't know what to expect. We are in a control state. And when you go out into the control state, what is available is the releases are spread out and go to many different places. So on one week, the first thing you have to do is know where to go buy it. There's a bunch of different liquor stores. Giant Eagles here in Ohio have liquor license, and they've got state liquor agencies within them. The same thing. Usually there's another grocery store called Bueller's, and there's usually a liquor store close to them or in their particular grocery store also. It just depends.
Acme's
another grocery. So there's a lot of grocery stores, Fisher's even here. Yeah, so Fisher's, we've got four different grocery store chains that have liquor departments in them. But then we also have a place called Top Shelf. And then we have another place a little bit away called Lake Beverage. And then there's also Silver Spirits, which is a little bit further away from me. So I've checked these places out. But what the first thing, the key to bourbon hunting is find out the day that the deliveries happen, because deliveries is when they get their shipment of all their liquor and they go through, and there's nobody waiting for vodka. There's nobody waiting for brandy. There's nobody waiting. They're waiting if you're going to be there and there's going to be a line. A lot of the stores don't allow lines, especially with COVID. And if a line forms, they're going to basically not put out what they get. So, they'll distribute it throughout the day. Now me, as far as a bourbon hunting goes and having a full-time job, which I can't sit there on a Wednesday morning and wait for, get there at 7 o'clock in the morning, wait till the store opens at 9 or 10 o'clock, and then wait for the truck to drop, an hour later, and then wait for the people who were in line to get what they're supposed to get. It's not something that I can do. So the places that distribute throughout the rest of the day, I've learned, and I kind of then frequent them and get to know the store manager, store owner, the people who are running things, and kind of get to know them by throughout the week, dropping by, talking to them, find out when their drop is. I explain that I run a bourbon club. I leave them my card. What I think we're going to do in this segment coming up is maybe have a couple of the managers on and just explain the craziness that's going on with that's bourbon. Actually
a really good idea.
Yeah. And it would be, you know, and it's just, it's very crazy. There's the professionals who are just trying to get it so that they could sell it on secondary. And then there's the people, who want to drink it. Then there's the people similar to me who want to drink it and critique it. And then, you know, so there's all different types of bourbon hunters. But what's been going on lately, and I've just noticed, is that there's just these, you could just see everybody walking into the store and who's going to be going in to check out what bourbons are where. And that's one of the cool things. I didn't understand quite what I needed to do, but when I went with Martin, we kind of talked to the store managers, and they kind of gave us a little bit of insight. You got to find out the store that you go to, how it works. You know, find out how it works. It might take 11, 12 trips. Purchase your regular purchase from them so they know that you're a purchasing buyer. You're not just there to get their good stuff and go. You're going to pick up the stuff, you know, that type of thing. So there's a lot of different things. You're going to miss out. As a bourbon hunter, one of the things you will find is that you miss out from time to time. Missing out will happen. But there's always another bottle of bourbon. Right now, my bourbon collection is almost, I believe, it's right around 200 bottles.
There's a lot of bourbon over there.
I can't drink it as fast as I get it. And it's like, I don't purchase that much, but for instance, our Friday night, whiskey live tasting, which happens on the second and fourth Fridays of every month. We taste, affordable bourbon, we taste it on Facebook Live with everybody. Sometimes we get 5,000 people. Sometimes we get 1,000 views, sometimes 5,000. But overall, we kind of just come through. It's try and make it cost effective. And, the fourth Friday of January, we are going to be tasting Old Forester 100. So that is going to be that particular bourbon. It's something that I can get, something that you can get. And so then we can all taste along. Doesn't make sense to do a live tasting where you want people to taste along and you do something that nobody can get. You know, it's a hard thing to right. do. You know, bookers, everybody can get the bookers when it comes out. It might be a little pricey, but if you don't want to taste along with us, you can also drink along with us. So
right. just join in.
But right. once again, you got to hunt for what you're looking for. And it's really, as a hunter, what I found is the most extreme is you walk in and you see something new. It's priced at $70 and you've heard good things about it, but nobody's really buying it yet. For instance, Jim Murray's Whiskey of the Year this year of 2021 is Alberta Cask Strength. It's a Canadian whiskey. He says it's fantastic, but I've seen it four or five times, but it's a cask strength rye. And it's really hard for me before I ever taste something like a cask strength rye from Canada to, even though Jim Murray says it's the Whiskey of the Year, to drop $70 on it.
Yeah, right.
Because
I understand that. You want to taste it first.
Yeah, I got to know if I'm going to spend $70 that I like it. I would like to have it at, I might go to my local establishment and have a, you know, a pour or whatever. But overall, that's one of the, like, for instance, there's a Cooper's that's been released by Brown-Forman. It's Kentucky Straight Bourbon. Now that's $29.99 for the 100 proof and $24. It's something that you could pull the trigger on. And
right.
I probably pull it soon, but it's a new thing, and so you always want to try and figure out what's happening with the new stuff. So that with that insight with bourbon hunting, happy hunting everybody in the next week, and then hopefully next week we will have Super Nash on for this segment. But once again, that's our podcast.
Yes. Once again, we are the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. I'll take us out here, Tiny. You can find us online at www.scotchybourbonboys.com. If you liked what you hear tonight or today, then please subscribe to the podcast. We're available anywhere that you can get podcasts. Apple, Spotify, and iHeartRadio are the three main. Pandora, Google, TuneIn Alexa. Just ask Alexa or Google Home or Siri to play the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. It will be right there for you. Please check us out on Instagram. Follow us there. And we are also on Twitter and YouTube. Please subscribe to all of those if you like. And last but not least, I'll mention it again, this time Parler. We are on Parler, and that is a good way to get involved with the Scotchy Bourbon Boys, to get some good swag and to get your posting chip.
Not Parler, Patreon.
Oh.
Parler's been taken down. But still. No, that's all right. Patreon. Yes, Patreon. Yes, there we go.
Not too many peas.
Yes. Freudian slip. Send them for our merchandise on something that doesn't exist.
Yes, go. Well, you can get merchandise at the scotchybourbonboys.com too. Well, scotchybourbonboys.com.
Right. And if you want to talk to us directly, email at us at thescotchybourbonboys@gmail.com.
Yes.
All right, everybody. Good night.